That's Queen from 1981. Of course, that's David Bowie singing with Queen there as well. So that kind of give you an idea. If you didn't know that, there you go. Did you know that was David Bowie singing with Queen right there? Did you? You're like, David Bowie, was he in the Alamo? I understand. You're young. You're young. He's actually a country singer. But you thought Vanilla Ice wrote that, didn't you? I understand. I know where we're at, Jill. You can take me there. And Vanilla Ice did write that before he was reincarnated and came out as a white guy living in the suburbs. But today we start with Under Pressure, because the issue is when we start talking about the things of finances, something that we are talking about right now because we understand that we're under pressure. That in this day and age that financially we live in the richest country the history's ever known, the wealthiest, but yet even as we engage this wealthy country, this wealthy way of life, something that we used to count as a blessing certainly, we've come to find out that pressure seems to be more of what we get the more we engage this. And that's because most of us engage this wonderful economy with such vigor that our pocketbooks cannot keep up. So we understand that our indebtedness and things cause that pressure, and it's what goes on. But here's the problem. As we move in this thing of pressure, we realize that pressure is something that is kind of necessary for life too. You say, come on, give me a break. Well, let's be honest with you. You got to have some pressure in your life. It may be coming down on you like this, but understand that your body has to have pressure. Yes, we call it blood pressure. Understanding that blood pressure is that measure of force of the blood that's got pressure on blood vessels. I don't like talking about vessels and RV and things. But there's got to be pressure for there to be life, and that's going on, and that's true. It's a matter of fact, blood pressure is one of the key vital signs of life. That's what they're going to check on you if you go down to the hospital. They try to do that with me, but I won't let them for the most part because I can't stand that weird thing on my arm, you know? If you notice, I don't wear rings and watches because I freakishly can't stand anything cutting off the flow of blood on any part of my body. So there you go. You're glad I wore a shirt today. Now, having said that, we understand that the problem is with blood pressure or any pressure, when it gets beyond the healthy numbers that are there for it. I think it's 120 over 80. I have no idea what those numbers mean. That's right. We have some RNs in the house and nurses and things like that. 120 over 80. What's your number? Do you have a number you want to give us today? Has anybody got a number they want to give us? Because I'm sick and tired of y'all coming up and telling me what your blood pressure numbers are when I don't want to know. So just tell me right now what it is. Because when you tell me, I'm like, I have no idea what that... You give me your phone number. That'd be better. What... Is that healthy? I have perfect blood pressure. I do. I don't know why. It's a thing that my mom gave me, but now that she's dealing with high blood pressure, I'm a little concerned with my own blood pressure. So there we go. It's the problem with high blood pressure is it causes heart failure and amongst other many things that happen, and so it is a big concern for us. Now, what we don't understand many times is that there's another type of issue that deals with blood pressure, and that's low blood pressure. And when you have low blood pressure, that's a problem because there's a pressure that there's not enough flow. You're not getting the blood to the parts of your body that you need to get it to. And it also can end with stroke and heart failure and shock. It also has the negative side that is down there as well. And so we have to watch those kind of things. Now, it seems that our heart of generosity functions quite the same. We've been talking about that heart of generosity. If you're just visiting today, understand we've been talking about it. We want that heart of generosity to continue. And it's hard today to do that because you begin to lose trust for people and we're financially always watching to see if we have enough. And we understand that that's what happens. But it's very similar to the physical heart in this here, is that with the heart of generosity, you can ill afford unwarranted pressures, right? of overspending and living beyond your means, as we saw some of the people telling up here. We can ill afford that because when you get indebted and when you get beyond your means, that heart of generosity gets constricted, doesn't it? It's hard to give away anything when you have nothing. Does that make sense what I'm saying today? So if our desire is to be kingdom people who are generous, and it is, if you love Jesus, you know that's right, then the issue is it's hard to be generous when we're fighting for every dime we have. Can we agree just on that here today? Can we agree on that? I'm not saying that you can't do it. It's just difficult. So as we look at that, we said last week that fear kills the heart of generosity. And as we continue to do things that cause us fear, then we're going to find that the heart of our generous heart is going to start suffering because of that. This is what Jesus said. If you look at Matthew 6, a wonderful chapter. Matthew sets out Matthew 6 in a powerful way that speaks of these things very much. He says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes?" Some of you ladies are thinking on that. "Now look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And you not much more valuable, are you not much more valuable than they are? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single cubit to your life, a single day, a single moment to your life? Can worrying get you anywhere?" Jesus asked. And so this kind of pressure is similar to the high blood pressure of the heart. It serves just to bring us to an end. It affects our heart of generosity. It also brings us to an end of that generous life. And we quit giving because we fear the pressure that comes with not having enough, which begins to look like that high blood pressure is there. But equally disastrous in the blood pressure, as I said, is the low blood pressure. So when we quit giving, if you'll think of it that way, the flow of our spiritual life and the flow of what God's doing in our life is cut. Just as low blood pressure does not allow blood to get to the certain parts of the body, not giving affects our life very similar. Those that we may be able to have enough to keep it right here, but anything in our life that goes beyond just the existent moment, subsisting, begins to seem to fall away. We see it in the body of Christ, that when we quit giving, that there's an issue that affects the higher body just as much as living underneath overspending can do as far as high blood pressure in that way. Are you with me in what I'm trying to say to you today? Now, these are the things we look. Not having enough flow in our giving can have disastrous effects in our spiritual life and also in our physical life, just like the physical heart. Let me continue with what Jesus said in verse 31 there in Matthew 6. He said, "Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows," what? "That you need them." He knows you need them. He knows that. "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Now, I don't particularly know exactly what he was talking about on that given day, but it is certainly a principle of life that I'm putting him first, and those things that I need, he's taking care of them. And what happens when I get my heart of generosity cut off, I become the one who's taking care of all my needs. And then I'll take care of the righteousness later. Do you really want your financial acumen, your ability to hold on and to make the wise investment, which, by the way, most of us struggle there, to be the thing that is your life focus? Or do you want your Heavenly Father to be the one who's saying, "I've got hold of you, and that's where I'm taking you. I'm meeting your needs." He says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own." We have to go back to that perspective of the kingdom, as we said. What is the perspective? This here, that the generous heart starts by gaining a kingdom perspective. And what is the kingdom perspective? We said that God owns everything and gave me everything. Even the breath, even the ability, even the money, whatever it took to make my job, my business, or my ability to get a job happen. He gave me these things. And so I want to fix my eyes on him. And then we said that the generous heart beats to a rhythm of giving. Just like the heart, it has a rhythm. And we talked about what that meant. It meant that you gave regularly, and as you gave regularly, you gave proportionally, and we also said that you gave accountably, and we talked about that last week. And we said, just get started giving. And again, the reason we begin to talk about this giving series wasn't because financially the church is in trouble. I want to make it very clear. I'm not saying we have a bunch of money laid up. That's not what I'm saying either. The reason that propelled me to sit back and to speak to you about giving is because I get sick and tired of people like Carol Darden, who you saw up there, come up to me and say, man, you know, we were just hurting and we just gave and we had nothing and we got blessed and got a brand new house. And then someone else comes up and tells me the same thing. Walter come up and tell me, oh, when I met Susan, I said, we're just going to give and we gave. We retired early. We've blessed everyone. And it just keeps coming. I'm just sitting back. Really? Because that was my story of my life, as I shared with you 2 weeks ago. But I just thought I was special, see? I just thought God loved me more. That when I gave, he blessed me. But the rest of you, I really couldn't count on that for you. You see what I'm saying? And the Lord really began to speak to me. He said, if people are getting blessed doing something, why are you not speaking about it? Well, I don't want them to think I'm just trying to get their money. Well, then get out of the business. Because it's discipleship in a sense. Don't just try to get people's money. And that's not what. Try to get them to understand the things that open up the kingdom of God in a powerful way. And that's exactly why we started this series in that way. And what you may think of me in that, I'll stand before my God and be honest to what is the truth of my life. My heart is to see you get started. And last week I said, if you don't have anything, you don't have to give because we give proportionally. But don't allow anything to get in the way of you giving. That the one who even gives, as we saw, the one coin, as Jesus said, out of their poverty, that means more than the one who gives more financially in that sense. That what you do, it may be small, and we may look at it in an envelope and not know, there's $3. But I think something happens in the kingdom of God that is so great that it blesses our church beyond what the money, dollar amount can mean. Do you understand what I'm saying? And blesses your life. And so I asked you, just get giving. Now, the thing with that, though, is that that's a good start. But it's not where you want to end up. Because if your heart wasn't beating, I would say, just get that heart going. I'd climb on top of you and I'd do all that. I wouldn't do the mouth-to-mouth thing. I can't do that. But I would get this going, right? And if your heart just got pumping, I'd be so excited. I'd say, woohoo, we've saved another one from death. But as your life kept going, we would want to test your blood pressure. And if your blood pressure was way low, we'd say, it's not beating good enough. That there's a level by which the heart must beat. We said the 120 over 80, there's some numbers we look at. That just like there's a vital sign for our blood pressure, there are vital signs that are working in our heart of generosity as well. And so one of the things we realize here is the heart of generosity has measurable vital signs. It's not just, hey, let me put my finger in your mouth and see the temperature that you're breathing on. It is more to it than that. If it doesn't beat in full, we're not enjoying the fullness of the life he has for us. We're not enjoying the fullness of life as my heart may beat slow and I may be okay for a little bit, but I want the fullness. I want it to beat where it's supposed to be, and I want my heart of generosity to beat where it's supposed to be. There's an inseparable link between man and our wallet. We realize that, and we're speaking right into the heart of what's going on, and we see this here when Jesus says that where your treasure is, your heart's going to be also. We understand that when we talk to you about money and when you talk to me about money, you're getting into the very depths of me. You're beginning to deal with the things that got my attention. And so this whole dialogue of personal finances can be difficult, but it's important for us to get the full beat of the kingdom of God. Are you with me today in that sense? All right. Now, let's look real quick at one of the most talked about scriptures that always deal with tithing, and that's Malachi 3. We're going to talk about it today. One that I've never really wanted to sit on because I felt people strong-armed, manipulated, and beat people over to get their kingdoms built. And so I didn't want to go there. And I want to tell you, it was a struggle for me in that. But not because I didn't believe in giving, because I was giving 10% and more. I just didn't want a strong arm. So today, what I'm going to do is put principles in front of you and let the Holy Spirit begin to speak to you. Let the Holy Spirit begin to talk to you, because I'm telling you, Joseph Laughlin came up to me and said, hey man, because, you know, he's a young man, new to our church you've been here 3 and 4 years now. I guess you're not that young anymore either. But in those things, I was talking to him the other day and said, you're a giver. What happened? You know, someone gave you the sermon. He said, no, I actually went to the Catholic Church, which really didn't talk a lot about giving, but my roommate had a book on giving sitting on the counter, and I read it, and it made sense, so I started giving. Wow. Brian Fox said, I went to the Church of Christ. We never talked about tithing. That wasn't something we did, but some guy mentioned it. It resonated in my heart. I started giving when I was in college. I began to see that people were moved by the Holy Spirit in ways that blessed their life. And so let's look at what we have with Malachi. It says here in verse 8, will a man rob God? Well, yet you rob me. You ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You're under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me, speaking to the Israelites of that time. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out much blessing that you will have room enough for. Okay? So this here sits here. This has nothing to do with you. This is just the Bible, and it's Old Testament. You don't have to worry about the Old Testament. I'm not a believer in that. The Old Testament is that which promises of Christ, and it's there. And by the way, if you want to throw out the Old Testament, well, then you'll have to throw out Jesus, who also talks about it too. And we don't want to do that, because then that would mean we didn't have a reason to have a Christian church going here today. So let's look at this real quick. Let's look at Malachi 3:8. Will a mere mortal rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, how are we robbing you in all things, in our tithes and offerings? Okay? And first of all, if we're not tithing, we're robbing him. That's what it says there. If we're not tithing, we're robbing. That's what Malachi says. That's why it's not a good idea to stop saying, well, I gave, that's enough. When God says that, we're sitting there staring at something saying, what do we do with that? It's a realm of obedience. If I'm not tithing, I'm robbing you. You don't understand where I'm at. You don't understand how I'm hurting. And I shared this story a couple of weeks ago with Teresa and I as we went through our tax stuff and we laid everything out. That the tax man come up and says, I'm so sorry that you owe the government $10,000 in back taxes and that your job isn't covering the debt load that you have on a monthly basis. So sorry for you. And I'm so sorry that you live at home with your mama with your teenager kids and got no money for a house. I'm really sorry about that. And he circles, but here's the problem. You're giving 5%. You need to be giving 10%. I thought, what kind of fool says that to a man who just realized his debt load is more than he'll ever seem to be able to get back? He said, I just believe if you'll give, God's going to deliver you. We didn't have a home. My mom had woke me up. I'd shared that story and said, it's time to get up and go find a house for him. It's time for you to move out. The only thing that had happened since I'd moved into my house, my mama, is that I'd got more in debt and things had got worse. So I was not really in a place to find a house. And it all started with one man who came up, and he was a friend of mine. He came up and said, hey, have you and Teresa found a house yet? And I said, we don't have any money for a house, dude. He pulls out a $100 bill and he put it in my hand and he said, this is my, and he used a word that's not one I'm fond of so much, because this is my seed money for you to get a house. And he handed it to me and he walked away. And I wept and I said, someone has faith for my life that I don't have at all. He has more faith for me getting a house than I've got for myself. It began the beginning of us giving. It began the beginning of us laying things out. It began the beginning of me having to sell Teresa's nice red Mustang. It began the things that we had to, you know, sorry for her, but that we had to do the things that were necessary. But then as we did, things began to happen. Checks began to show up in the mail from someone. I heard you were buying a house. We just wanted to send some money. Ridiculous stuff. Now, that doesn't happen all the time to everybody, but it's what began to happen with our lives. And we were able, within 6 months, to buy a house and be able to take care of our taxes and begin to do those things. And we just sit back and said, we marked it up to giving. I'm giving, Lord, and you're taking care of those things I have no control over. Someone mailed a check for $6,000 to us. They were stupid. But I tell you, I loved it. I'm giving, baby. Come on. And so this, someone gave me a Cadillac. Yes, someone gave me a Cadillac. Oh, it was old, but it was a Cadillac, and that's all that mattered. It kind of ruined my life because I had a beat-up old red Honda that I drove all the time that broke down, and people at the old Spring Vineyard would come up and give me $50 and say, the Lord told me to give you $50. And I loved that. And when I got a Cadillac, they stopped doing that. So sometimes things aren't a blessing. But in this, the point is, in the giving, something broke loose. Something broke loose in me too. The shame broke away. Second thing broke loose. My spirit of poverty that said to me, I will never own anything. I'll never have a house. I'll never have anything. That's the way I lived my life. And really thought maybe that's what God had called me to. But the thing was, he blessed me. And as we live in a, someone come up the other day and said, you're the guy who lives in that big old house over by the church. Well, I don't think my house is as big as some of yours. But the thing is, I got a big old house over there. And when I prayed for it, God gave it to us. And then he gave us 8 kids to live in it. And among, you know, I'm saying, it filled it up. Meaning when God's blessing you, you might think you're being selfish, but he's often blessing you because he's blessing his kingdom. That's what he's doing. He's blessing you with the opportunity to move forward in the call of your life. And had I lived with my mom, she would have struggled with me adopting 8 more children because I had the 3 that were there. And now Cassie's went ahead and threw some kids in there and Carrie's threw some kids. We would all be suffering living in Ninal's house right now. So the thing is, the ball gets rolling and things start happening in the kingdom that go beyond just the selfishness of, yeah, I got me a brand new Cadillac or whatever. Cadillac, there you go. So because we can get the other one. But now here's the deal. When it comes to giving at that level, I mean, I would love to go up to my wife and say, I have been faithful 80% of the time. I've been faithful at this level. And she would slap me so hard and knock me to the ground, and she would care less about the other. There's obedience that walks into the fullness, and that's one of the things that I wanted to have in my life. And so let me take this opportunity real quick, because I've shared a little bit of story, of what that tithe means and what it means on a tithe. And to make it very clear to you, this is the definition of a tithe. It is the first tenth of all God blesses us with each time that we're paid. And since it is 10%, that's what the word tithe meant. It came apart from the 10 fingers or 10 toes that were there when you looked at the child. It became the 10%, that 10% meant whole. Meaning God was saying, it's all mine, but I'm looking for the 10% that's there. That's what we're seeing with that. Now, we live beyond the Old Testament law, of course, but when it comes to giving, it only makes sense that we look at the things that God started with his people as a starting point of what's going on in life. Hey, it's all his. He says, let's start here with 10. Fantastic as we see that. We see this here in Leviticus 27:30. 1/10 of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit, belongs to me. He says in Matthew 23:23, when Jesus is being questioned by the Pharisees about stuff, he sits back and questions their heart. But in Matthew 23:23, he says this here. You should have tithed. You should have done more. But he affirmed the fact that the Pharisees' tithing was the right thing to do. So we realize that that's there. And Proverbs 3:9, he says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine, which stands behind much scripture that continues to say, as you give, I'm going to bless you. As you give, I'm going to bless you. It's the flow. When you got low blood pressure, things don't get out there where they're supposed to be. And when we low in our giving, things don't get out there where they're supposed to be. We don't walk into the fullness of the call of our life. That's everything I see scripturally. And take the scripture out and let me just go with the effect narratives that people have shared in just this church. And you can ask them. And they'll just tell you, man, when I started giving, things broke open. Real things started happening. Guys, wasn't what I thought. Matter of fact, just about the time Teresa and I was going to giving, my biological father, he got hold of my banking account and took all my money away from me. That's generally what happens. And I said, we're not going to stop. It's what we're going to do. And we continue to do that and break through those things that were there. So we look at this here. He says this here in Malachi 1:8-9. As Malachi was saying, he says, when you give these blind animals, isn't that wrong? Isn't it wrong to offer animals that are crippled and diseased to give gifts that are your... You can give those gifts to your governor and see how pleased he is with that. He says, go ahead, beg God to be merciful to you. But when you bring that kind of offering, why should he show you favor at all? He was talking to him about bringing the gift that was not the fullness of what they've been called. So as we walk into that, we say, Lord, I am starting. My heart's beating. I want to get to where you want me. This is why we say we want to get the vital sign pumping where it's supposed to be. That's our heart that's there. And it's we see in that 10%, you might say, well, that's good. Why do you get the 10%? Who are you, Raymond? Well, I'm the guy with a nice sport jacket who plays a mean red guitar, and I want your 10% today. It doesn't fly, does it? That doesn't seem like a very good reason to give me 10%, but you're not giving me 10%. You're giving unto the Lord, but you're giving to the local church. That's what's going on. Because you say, well, what's the question I have is, what is the storehouse? What is the storehouse he's talking about, Malachi? And why is it you? Well, first of all, the storehouse most evidently meant the temple where they met. And in the temple, they took in the 10% that came from those people, all the foods and the produce. And that is what fed the priests, and it's what took care of the Levites and took care of those who lived within the temple grounds. It also took care of the poor and took care of the needy. That was the system that was there. Now, the most thing that looks like that is the church, the local church that we have today, that is set up, that we've come to and been called into. Matter of fact, if you look at the first century church of Acts, this is what's going on. God's working, it says in Acts 4. It says, God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there was no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. What we see here is they're saying, here is leadership, and we're counting on you to get this where it's supposed to be. And we see that as a principle that started in a first century church that was there. Do you want to argue that? You can argue that. But this is the principle that we've seen forth as coming and bringing that tithe, what they did then, bringing that giving over to those leaders that were there at that time, the local church. And so the vital signs of a heart of generosity is giving 10% to the local church. Now, I say that because I've had people come to me and say, well, I'm giving to United Way. Isn't that enough? I have no problem with that. I'm giving to this and I'm giving that. I have no problem with that. After you've given your first fruit to your local church. And I believe that strongly. Now, if you don't do that, am I going to come up and get on you? No. No. Is God going to not bless me? I'm not going to say that. I will say he's not. The local church certainly suffers in what we're called to do. Certainly. But this is what we see as a principle of tithing. This is the one that has been historically put forth, and it's where we stand with that. Today, I call you to have the vital signs, that of giving, that are there. Now, if you're visiting today, I've just hit you with a brick. Fantastic. Get started. Do what you're going to do. If this isn't a church, find a church. Give in that church. Give. Be blessed. Have those blessings come back in your church and to be there where you're at and to be that the person who's moving in that way. Now, offerings that go above the tithe, give them where you want. If your kids didn't get them, give them where you want, is what I'm going to say, to where it would be. Now, as we sit back and think of that, we must remember that the tithe was meant to infuse the local, as it would mean today, to infuse the local church so that God's kingdom can continue to be effective in the area that it's in. And that's what you're doing. That's what we're hoping to do. And it's about priority. We understand this here. We have to be wise. And if you don't feel that your church is giving wisely or taking those things, you come down and talk about it. We can talk about it. It's not beyond discussion. It's not beyond you asking. Not everything's your business. What my wife makes, because she makes more than me, does not. I'm kidding about that. But not everything's your business. But the way we do money, we certainly have no problem in sharing that, because it's our money, as the kingdom of God has called us to give it unto God to work in that way. Does that make sense with you today, is what I'm saying? Boring, you're saying. Just get on with it. I'm not trying to bore you. I want you to understand today what's going on with that. Now, there's the tithing debate of whether or not that's the law, and that's what we're going to do with the law that's there. And I would sit back and say to you again that that with Jesus, he certainly believed in that giving and what was going on. Opponents say tithing is something that's been, that's outdated. I want to see Matthew 5:17 says, don't misunderstand why I've come. Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law, but I came to accomplish the purposes that was there. Jesus did not come to knock out the law, but to accomplish it. And as we come today, giving something that was a law now has been taken away by grace, because Jesus has come and he no longer cares if you give. He doesn't care if you do moral things anymore. Do whatever you want. Does not make sense at all, does it? Grace does not take us away from walking out the kingdom call that's on our life. Never did, never will. If you think that grace means you just get to do what you want, and that's not it. If it was, your life would be meaningless to him. Any law that was ever there was for the purpose of blessing you. Blessing you. Any law that says don't do this was for the purpose of blessing you. Because when you violated the law, your life fell into those things of pain and fell into those things of suffering. That's what we see with the law. And doesn't mean I live by the law. I live by grace. And so when it comes to me, I sit back and go, he made them, they had a law of 10%. I live by grace. I've been given more. I've been given forgiveness in such a wonderful way. My desire is to even give beyond anything that's of law. I want to live by grace. And that's what I want to do with those kind of things that's there. Does that make sense with you today? We want to become New Testament believers, as Randy Alcorn would say, living in a far more affluent society than ancient Israel, give only a fraction of that given by the poorest Old Testament believers, we surely must reevaluate our concept of grace giving. And when you consider that we have the indwelling of the Spirit of God, and they didn't, the contrast between giving is really even stronger in the sense that they gave an agrarian society that lived on the very food that they ate, and they gave what was there. We stand in a much more prosperous way. And so grace giving should certainly stand more than that. It seems that we do have the heart problem that's there for sure. That's what I would say as we move forward. Now, are you ready for me to go point two real quick? Because this is fun stuff. Here it is. It says, you're under a curse, your whole nation, because you're robbing me. Today I want to say the whole idea of curse is very scary. Am I saying you're under a curse because you haven't given 10%? I don't know what you've given. But I will say this here. These are the ideas of what a curse looks like today for you. Going to bed every night worried about money. Arguing with your spouse over money. Living in the fear of losing everything. These are the things that are cursed because they are the absence of blessing. And when we live in a certain way where we hold tightly to the things God give us and we sit back and say, I just want more, but I don't give out, the blood flow's not getting to where it needs to go so that the life and abundant life is there. And I can go down that list and say, yes, 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 I understand those things. Because these are the symptoms of an unhealthy heart of generosity, financial worry, and conflict. These are symptoms that's there. Am I saying if you give 10% that you'll never have conflict and financial problems? I'm not saying that. Because the truth is, if you don't get your spending under wraps, if I don't get my spending under wraps, we're continually to outspend anything God can ever give us. But the great thing about God is when we begin to give to him, wisdom comes with that. We begin to order everything in that, and he moves in such a way to get our lives ordered in the kingdom of God. The same thing when you quit drinking. All of a sudden, you find it affects everything. The same thing when you come to a place where you realize that you got to quit lashing out in anger or these other things, or you get your life together relationally. You understand it blesses every aspect of your life. Because it's ordering it to the kingdom life. And when we order our giving to the kingdom, all of a sudden we see it affect all of these things that's here. Matthew 25:29, Jesus says, to those who use well what they're given, even more will be given. And they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. And I've often read that. This is talking about the investing the money and stuff. I've often read that and said, what kind of mean old God is that? But he's just saying, what little piece you have is going to be gone because you're working on your own way. If you work on your own way of life, you'll find the same thing. It's a principle that goes beyond money. It's just a principle of discipleship, the principle of life. When I do it my way, I don't get the kingdom way. If I want the kingdom, I live to the kingdom. If I want to meet God, where are you, God? I'm on this road. I've told you the road. Come meet me there. He'll come get you, but he's calling us to the road and the life that's there. So real quick, we begin to see this financial worry that's there. We can't ignore and dispute his plan for our livelihood and expect the blessings in life. That's what one of the things will be there. So one of the most frequently asked questions is, well, should I tithe before taxes or after taxes? And my answer to you is, what do you want to be blessed on? We understand that. That's not a manipulative question. Because I can't give you a direct answer to that. Though I could sit back and say, first fruit, you figure it out. But I would sit back and say, it's not a matter of how much I have to give. We're in a place of saying, how much can I give? I want to get to the place where this heart of generosity is pumping. That's the excitement I'm talking about. And that's my heart for you, to be that cheerful giver who's moved in that way. And then we look back and we say in this last one, Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord. Test me in this, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Test me in this. The only time he asks us to test him in this here. And we realize that God shows up in people's lives when they honor him. God's promise about tithing is, if you honor me with your first fruit, I'm going to pour out my blessings on your life. That's his promise to us. Now, recently, I know that the Quintanillas who are here today, I don't know where they're at. Maybe they're not in here today. But the thing is, they recently began to give. And they just had lived their life subsistently. And we know, you know, from check to check. And they had went through a course here at the church, and they said, you know what, I'm going to start giving. And they began giving, and then the cars broke down, one got wrecked, everything that you could imagine began to fall apart. And Mario said, we're not going to stop. We're going to keep giving. And then things begin to happen. Powerful things begin to happen. They begin to break loose their financial blessing in this life. When I hear those stories, I just... When God says, test me in this, I go, test him in it. Test him in it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I challenge you to test him in it. If you don't believe in God today, this is the best way to find out he's real. Test him in it. Give. Say, for 4 months, I'll do it for 4 months. I'll look at that. I'm going to see what goes on. Test him in it. And then you come and give me the stories that what God's going to do, because I firmly believe that he's going to bless you because I've just seen it so much that's there. We understand this here. The symptoms of a healthy heart of generosity are financial peace, favor, and well-being. This favor comes out of nowhere. You begin to find money. Things begin to happen. You get a raise. Carol was talking about earlier. Things come out of bonuses that come out of nowhere. Yes, it is the truth. It happens. It just begins to happen in our lives. It did for me and continues for me. I'll be honest. It's always a challenge. Times get tough. My heart of generosity doesn't beat so fast, and the blood flows low. And then things get worse. Things get worse. And I have to call back and go, you can do more. You can do more. You can do more. And I challenge myself. And I'm so blessed when I see that going on in my life and in others. This is the way that it worked, that they were blessed tremendously in that way. And so when I look at 1 Chronicles 29, 13 through 14, in the NLT, it says, oh, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we could give anything to you? Everything we have has come from you, and we give you only what you first gave us. This is the heart that is the center of the generous heart. And these are the vital signs that demonstrate to you that you are moving in that way and the way they affect you. Today, as we stand, we remember the generous heart is not just about giving away something so someone else can get. That when I give, something's happening in me that's breaking free the curses in my life. What curse that I thought I'd always be broke? What curse that I ever thought that I could never get past today, that my business will never succeed and these things will never succeed? It breaks off of me the fear of life and subsistence living. It puts me in a place of being firmly in the grip of the kingdom of God and in its flow. And that's what I want today. And that's what I'm calling for you today, my desire for you. Will you please stand with me now? And as you stand, the ministry team comes forward. And they're coming forward because we believe this here. And it's Jesus Christ who is the author of all these things as we had our communion today and went through it and we'll follow with dinner next door. That we understand that he gave everything for us. You say, well, it wasn't money. No, he gave his life. And we realize that when we're giving in this way, that it's demonstrating that which is most precious to us in life. And so today, as you come forward, if you don't know Jesus Christ, it is my desire for you that you start there by giving your life to Jesus. Come and give him the full of what you have. Let him begin to bring the measure of the kingdom of God that comes through his blood for you. That you make that exchange, that supernatural exchange of your little life for his glorious life that he has for you. And then today, we also want to pray for those who've come today and said, I'm just in that place where, man, financially, I can't move. I'm in gridlock. I just need someone to pray for me. I'm not looking for advice right now. I just want someone to come and ask. And I want to be able to break this back of fear in my life and begin to move forward. We want to pray with you today. And we want to lay hands on you. Not so that we can embarrass you, because that's not it, but to say, come, yes, Lord. Give them faith, to give them faith to be able to believe in the great things you have for their life. And so that's my heart. And if you come today and you're experiencing physical illness and the things that are there, the kingdom of God is here. And Jesus is healing today and delivering us from those things which rob us of the peace of the kingdom of God. And we want to pray with that too. So I'm going to bless you. And as I bless you, you may come down and you may certainly leave as we're done and come and pray at that time. Come, Holy Spirit, we invite your presence. These things of giving are principles of life and they're principles of the kingdom. I ask that you come and move today. As you move in our lives, that you would show us your love for us. And Jesus, that you would bless them with that sense of absence of shame and that blood flowing down. And that today, Holy Spirit, that you come and you bless, removing the pain, removing the fear, and beginning to bring that sense of power to come behind the commitments that we make for you, oh Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you so much today.